morning, y'all. And if you're a guest here, I want to give all of our guests a round of applause. Thank the Lord for you. If you're a guest here at the Washington Christian Center, we want to welcome you, and we're glad that you came here. We have an opportunity. We're going to have an opportunity for you to get a connection card. Matter of fact, if you're a guest here, if this is your first time here, we want to acknowledge you. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to see you. Could you just raise your hand right now? Just say you're a guest right here today. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God bless you. We're glad you came to worship with us this morning. Our brother Derek has a connection card. We want to connect with you. Amen. So there's going to be a time in the service where we have an opportunity for you to fill out that card, and so we can get information and we can kind of connect with you. We're just glad for you to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. This is the second Sunday in September. I just want to draw your attention. God is doing some work here at Washington Christian Center. Amen. And I thank God for all of you who give not just your time, not just your talents, but also your treasure here, because we want to do everything that we do with excellence. Amen. We want to do everything we do with excellence. And we're a work in progress, and we thank you for being patient with us. But I'm just thankful. I don't know if any of the brothers have an opportunity to go to the bathroom this morning. I said the good-looking new bathroom right there. Amen. Amen. And ladies, guess what? You're coming next. We're going to hook you up. It's going to be hooked up to. The ladies' restroom is getting remodeled. We're just doing some things around here because we want to be a place when people come, it's a place that is welcoming them for them to come, an environment where they can come that is warm and welcoming, and they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Our prayer is that this is our vision here at the Washington Christian Center. Our vision is that everyone, that people everywhere encounter God's presence, discover their purpose, and experience his power. Because it's only in his presence that you understand why you're here. It's because of his presence that you understand why you're here. And then when you come in to understand your purpose, God created you to be in a relationship with him. That's when your life can have meaning. That's when you can have power and significance in your life and make impact when you're walking in the purpose that God has designed you for. Amen? And to drive home that point, to drive home that vision, now many of you have heard me say that here that God has placed that word encounter in my spirit over the last 6, 7, 8 years. That God is, because of the scripture, Psalm chapter 27, the one thing that I desire of the Lord, the one thing that I seek is to dwell in his house and inquire in his temple and behold his beauty. How many want to behold his beauty? And several years ago, the Lord put that word in my heart, encounter. Because a lot of times we want stuff from God, but God showed me that everything, and he showed me in his word, that everything that you want from God is in his presence. So stop seeking the stuff and start seeking his presence. Because in his presence is fullness, joy, and the Bible says, and the right hand are what? Treasures evermore. So we want people to begin to encounter God's presence. So with that in mind, we're going to go over the rest of this month, and I don't know how long we're going to go, but we're starting a series this morning. It's called Close Encounters. Y'all remember the movie Close Encounters of a Third Kind, right? But this morning we're going to be talking about close encounters, and over the next several weeks, and all we're going to do is, because what God showed me that, you know, everybody who came in contact with God, everybody who came in contact with Jesus Christ, they were never the same. And so we're going to look at people throughout this next several weeks who had an encounter with God, who had an encounter with the God-man, Jesus Christ, and how their lives were changed as a result of that. Is that okay? Because we're going somewhere. Amen? We want to be a church that people encounter God's presence, and as they encounter God's presence, they will encounter new life through him. Amen? Could you all pray with me this morning? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, because you love us unconditionally. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a God that desires for us to encounter you. You're a God that desires for us to have a relationship with you. Lord God, we ask this morning as the praise team just admonished us, Lord God, and as we sang, to draw us close to you. Show us your face. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, so that we might see you today. We want to encounter you, Lord God. And having done that, Lord God, we understand our purpose for existing. You created us, Lord, to love us. You created us to be in relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that when we come into that relationship with you, that your power will be made manifest in our lives. We praise you. We honor you. Now, I pray for somebody today who's never come in to encounter you the first time. Someone who's never, ever started a relationship with you. We pray that they'll come to know you today. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you want to encounter God today? Encounter God's presence. You know what? I don't know about you. We can, you know, you get to going to doing church and church and church and church and church over and over again. And you can kind of get up one Sunday after the other. And we miss the presence of God. We miss the presence of God. And you start wondering, it's like, Lord, when you look through that, have you ever just take a chance to look through the Bible and just see how the power of God was made manifest in the scripture? And then you look at us, then sometimes I look at us, when I say us, not just us here, I'm looking at 2019, the church. And I was like, well, where is that power? Where is it at? And a lot of times it's because, listen, we're operating, we're doing the work of God, and the presence of God is not even here. It kind of reminds me of the scripture. It reminds me of also Samson. Samson in the Bible, and many of you who don't have the book, if you get the book, it's called, What? Don't Get It Twisted. You're Not That Strong. It's my first book. Amen? In the book, one of the things about Samson is Samson had got to walking in his flesh. He was a judge. He was one of the leaders. He got to walking in his flesh so long that he didn't even recognize when the spirit was gone. And so he got up, tried to do what he had always done in his flesh, and didn't recognize you can't do it. And I'm afraid that sometimes in the church, we come in, we do a lot of stuff, and we don't even recognize the spirit ain't in it. And what God is calling for us, he's calling for us as a church to have a fresh encounter with God. And so this morning, we're going to start in the book of Exodus. If you have your Bible, you could turn to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to look at a man in Scripture who had an encounter, an unusual encounter with God. In the book of Exodus, we're going to look at Moses. And Moses is a familiar story to many of us. It's the story of Moses and the burning bush. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3, the first six verses really quick. And we're going to go into chapter 4, but we're going to just take our time and get some points that we can glean about having a close encounter with God through the life of Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Close encounters, not of the third kind, but of the God kind. If we look at Moses right here in our passage, it says Moses, where was he? Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And just to give you a little background for those of you who may not be familiar with it, well, Moses was a Hebrew, and during that time, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were enslaved in the land of Egypt. They were enslaved in the land of Egypt, and there was a new Pharaoh that came about during that time who did not like the Hebrews, and he had issued this decree that all of the new Hebrew boys born, I'm taking you back to Moses' mom and dad. And so all of the Hebrew children that were born, male children, the Pharaoh wanted all of them to be killed. So Moses' mother and father, they had this little baby boy, Moses, and they knew that he was supposed to be killed. So they hid him and they hid him and they hid him. And then finally, mom dressed him up, put him in this little basket and pushed him down the river just hoping that, that somebody would take their child and take care of their child because they did not want to have to kill their baby. And it just so happened that Moses' sister, Miriam, was watching along, watching her little brother in that basket. And the Bible tells us that the basket came, listen, right, unto the princess right at that time. She took Pharaoh's daughter, came and took Moses in and raised him as her child in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. So y'all remember the movie, The Prince of Egypt, the little Disney movie, The Prince of Egypt? So that Moses was the prince of Egypt. And he was raised in royalty as a Hebrew in the house of Pharaoh. And he was raised up in the house of Pharaoh. But what was going on at that time, he was raised an Egyptian, but he was actually a Hebrew. And what was going on to his people, his blood people, they were being abused, they were in slavery, they were being mistreated. And Moses saw this, and in royalty, it bothered him. And one day, the Bible tells us, if you look back in Exodus chapter 2, it says Moses saw some of his Hebrew people being mistreated by the Egyptians, and he killed one of the Egyptians. And it just didn't go well. He thought he was standing up for his people, and his people turned their back on him. And then Pharaoh heard about it and wanted to kill Moses. So what did Moses have to do? He had to get out of Dodge or get out of Egypt. So Moses left because now Pharaoh had it in for him. And so what happened? Moses, who was raised in the king's house, was now on the run. And Moses has run away, and he run away to the land of Midian. And long story short, he was out there in the desert, out there in the land of Midian. He ran into this woman and these people who were coming to feed their flock, and he helped to defend these young ladies who were defending their flock. He went home with this family and eventually married this young lady. And he just got comfortable in the land of Midian. Moses, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. Now he was on the run from Pharaoh. He moved out here. He married Jethro's daughter, the priest of Midian. And now what he was doing, he went from being a prince, from being royalty, now to shepherding flock. Because he was on the run. And as I started thinking about that, you know, Moses right now, where he was comfortable. He had gotten to a place, really, that was not a place where he was designed to stay. He was designed to be, but he had gotten comfortable out of position. And the reason why he was out of position is because he tried to carry out a call that God had on his life before he was prepared. See, well, eventually Moses would be the deliverer of Egypt, but what he tried to do, he tried to deliver Egypt in his own strength. And when he did it in his own strength, it ended up in a problem. And the Lord showed me this. Whenever you try to answer God's call or walk in the purposes of God prior to you being prepared for it and in your own power, it will always lead to a problem. Whenever you try to walk in purpose before your preparation and outside of God's power, you're going to have a problem. So Moses tried to be the deliverer. He tried to kill the Egyptian, and even the Hebrews didn't like him for it. So what happened? He ended up running. And so here now Moses is in our passage this morning, chapter 3. It says Moses, verse 1, says Moses one day was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Moses had gotten to where he was because he had done something that he was not supposed to do. He tried to operate outside of God's power. And when you try to operate outside of God's power, you will always be out of position. And what happened, this is the place, he was in a place, listen, he was stuck. Moses was stuck tending flock. And if anybody knows, he was a Hebrew, but he was raised in an Egyptian. One of the things that you'll find when you look at the story of Abraham, that the Egyptians could not stand shepherds. They didn't like shepherds. He was raised in the Egyptian household, and now what he was doing something that was detestable to the household he was brought up in. He was raising sheep because he tried to move outside of God's timing. And this morning, whenever you move outside of God's timing, you're going to get yourself into a problem. Even if what you're trying to do is good. See, the Israelites, the Hebrews, needed to be delivered, but it was not God's timing, and Moses wasn't prepared for. When you want to walk in, God sometimes got to prepare you for what he's taking you into. Just think about Joseph. Joseph, God had a plan for Joseph, but Joseph had to go to the pit, he had to go to the prison, he had to go to Potiphar's house before he could even be prepared for the palace. And this morning, I'm here to tell you that God might have some preparation. You might see what God wants to do in your life. You may feel God has a call in your life, but don't rush it. Don't rush it. Do it in His what? Timing. In His timing. But this is where we find Moses this morning in our close encounter. And one thing that I found out, there's a couple of things that I want to find out about a close encounter with God. Where does God meet Moses? Look at the passage. It says, one day Moses was tending to the flock of his father, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness. My first point about a close encounter with God is that sometimes God meets you in your wilderness moments. Sometimes the place that you encounter the presence of God is when you are in the wilderness. When you're in that place of desolation, sometimes there's some of us this morning that feel like you're going through a wilderness experience where you feel like you're all by yourself. Moses was out there with the flock all by himself. It said he carried them further into the wilderness, and that was the place he met with God. And he wasn't even planning. That's not the reason he went there. But sometimes God has to put you into a place of the wilderness so he can speak to you. God will meet you in your wilderness moments. A wilderness moment, like I said, is a time of desperation and sometimes a time of desolation. When you feel like you're by yourself, when you feel like you're at your very end, where it's a thing that doesn't seem very hopeful to you right then, that's where God often shows up in those times. And if you want a close encounter with God, sometimes what God has to do, he has to take you to that wilderness, because if everything was going good for you, you wouldn't seek him on your own. So sometimes he's got to break you down and get you to a place where you're quiet so you can what? Be still and know that he is God. My question is, are you in a wilderness right now? Are you in a wilderness moment in your life? And if you're in that wilderness moment, sometimes it's not a time for you to try to hurry up and get out of it. It's a time for you to just be still and listen to the voice of God so he can speak to you. Because he's got something great for you to do. He's got plans for your life, but you got to be still so you can hear him. God meets us in our wilderness moments right there in our passage. But the other thing that I see in the passage, let's keep going down. If you look at verse 2. It says, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. See, God meets you in your wilderness moments, but not only that, God can use whatever he chooses to get your attention. God can use whatever he chooses. He put him in the wilderness, and then what did he do? He chose something that's always out there, a bush. Just a simple bush. Bush was out there all the time. Moses had probably been doing this before. This wasn't his first time feeding the flock. Bush was already out there. And sometimes God can use the ordinary thing to get your attention. But see, what happens when that ordinary thing gets lit ablaze with the glory of God, it will stop you in your tracks. Moses was out there, right there, out there in the wilderness, feeding his flock. And then all of a sudden, it says the angel of the Lord appeared and lit that bush on fire. And how many know all of us would have stopped to look at that? See, it wouldn't have been unusual for the bush to burn, but the bush was on fire and the leaves were still on it. It wasn't burning up. And Moses was like, look at what he says. Moses, look at the passage. Moses looked over and said, hold up, this is crazy. Moses looked over in the flames and said, he stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. What God was doing was trying to get his attention. This morning, God is trying to get your attention. There is something, and I'm here to tell you, he'll use whatever he wants to get your attention. He can make you lose your job. He can make you lose your health. Whatever, he is sovereign. Last night, as I was getting ready for this morning, I was listening to, I don't know, I love Daryl Coley. I don't know if y'all know Daryl Coley. And there's two songs I kept listening to. One says, he's preparing me for something I cannot handle right now. Then the other one is, he's sovereign, sovereign. Then the verse says, God can do whatever he wants to do. He can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. See, what God, he wants to let you know, in the wilderness, he can take you in the wilderness, and he will take whatever it is from you. He'll take the smallest thing. The Bible says he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He'll do whatever he needs to do just to get your attention. And my question this morning is, what's the burning bush in your life that God's trying to get your attention that you keep walking past? Is there something that God has lit ablaze? Is there a fire? Is there something that he is trying to get your attention with that you keep on passing it by? God is trying to get you to be like Moses and stop and see. Listen, there's something unusual here. God is moving. God is moving. Don't just dismiss it. God is trying to get your attention. It's like Color Purple. What's the Color Purple song? Says, God is trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you something this morning. Be still and know that he is God. He said, Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. This is what God was doing. He was getting his attention so that he can speak to him. What next happened? Let's look at what next happened. It says, verse 4, Moses goes over to the bush and he says, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face. Why? Because he was afraid to look at God. What you got to understand, not only this, in a close encounter with God, encountering God's presence. When you truly encounter God's presence, it will lead you to worship. When you truly encounter God's presence, it'll lead you to worship. God told Moses, look, take off your shoes. This is not a regular area right here. I'm here. Take off your shoes. This is you're standing on holy ground. And look at Moses' response. He covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. That's an act of worship. Worship comes the word from proskinu, to prostrate oneself. He fell before God. He covered his face and said, listen, I can't look at him, because the word of God said, no one can look at me and live. Worship, when you encounter the presence of God, you can't just sit there and be laissez-faire. Sometimes we know that, I love it, the song by Israel that says, I am a friend of God. I know he's my friend, but he's still the one who sits high and looks low. He's still the one who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. He's still the one who spoke a word and hung the stars in space. So when I come into his presence, I ought to bow before him. Isaiah said it. Listen, when Isaiah saw him, it said in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And Isaiah's response was, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. Because when I look at his glory in light of my mess, I can't do nothing but cover my face. And I think, church, we've lost the sense of his glory, of his majesty. See, when a close encounter with God, when you come into a close encounter with God, sometimes you can't even stand up straight. I never forget when I had my first real close encounter with God. It was 1991, December 1991. I was a student at Howard University, and many of you have heard me tell this story. A student at Howard University, and I was at a conference called the Impact Conference, and I was sitting in the front row of a time when it was all men, and it was an all-men discussion. May have been about 300 brothers in this discussion. And I was sitting in the front row. And the man was preaching, James White was preaching, that ye need, God is looking for some point men. He's looking for some men to stand on point for God. And I remember the presence of God. I couldn't stand up. When I saw his glory and heard his voice call me, my buddy Ralph had to carry me to the elevator. I couldn't even walk. And I said, Lord, where is that awe? When was the last time that we fell on our face before you? When we recognize whose presence that we're in, we can't be casual, y'all. When you truly see him, it'll cause you to weep, and you don't even know why you're crying. It'll cause you to get weak. I'll never forget it. I'm sitting on that front row, and I was sitting on that front row, and it was all dudes in there. And I'm sitting, I'm like, I ain't not going to be the only brother in this joint crying. So I'm saying, I'm trying to suck it up. I'm sitting on the front because I can't see anybody else behind me. And I hear this sniffing, and I look next to me. It's my buddy next to me. He boo-hooing next to me. And I look behind it. All the place was laid out because God had gotten our attention. And I'm going to tell you, I have never been the same since. When you encounter his presence, you will never, ever be the same again. You cannot come into the presence of a holy God and fall before him in worship and be the same. You just won't do it. When I counted his presence in December of 1991, I started to run like my head was on fire. And I ain't saying I'm perfect and I'm not sinless. I heard my pastor in Philadelphia when I was in school. He said, listen, when you come to him, you're not going to be sinless, but you ought to sin less. I'm not sinless, but you ought to sin less. Because when you recognize, when you see him, just like Moses did, he had to cover his face because I can't look at God. Because he's holy. He's holy. He's sovereign. He sits, the Bible says, in inapproachable light. And we come, and then God has given us an opportunity, listen, to sit in his, to come into his presence. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That holy and sovereign God, through what Jesus Christ has done, now the veil has been torn, so I can come directly into the presence of his holiness. But when I come in, I just can't come casual. I gotta worship him. When you encounter God's presence, it's going to leave. You cannot encounter God's presence and not worship. If you said, listen, you came into the presence of God and didn't worship, that wasn't the presence you came in. When you come into the presence of God, listen, he will knock you to your knees. When you see him in all of his glory, you can't just sit there and listen. The beautiful thing about his presence does not necessarily have to be in the sanctuary. Where was Moses? He was in the wilderness. Anybody ever met his presence in the wilderness and you were just out someplace and you just fell on your face and it's like, what is wrong with her? Because I just saw the glory, oh, the glory of your presence. We, your temple, give you reverence. So now rise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as your glory now fills this place. That's what we got to get to the place, y'all. See, if you really want change in your life, it starts with you bowing before him and recognize whose presence you're in and recognize, God, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man, I'm a woman of unclean lips. When you encounter God's presence, it'll make you do like Moses did. It'll make you cover your face. You ought to have some reverence for God. You know, fear is a good motivator. Fear is a healthy motivator. There's some stuff that you shouldn't do just because of you scared. I'm telling you, I was younger. There's stuff I just wouldn't do. My parents didn't even have to be there. I was afraid if I did at that moment, God would kill me. Amen. And what happens as you get older and older and you start trying some stuff and you find that he didn't kill you, then what happens is you try to get bold. But you don't recognize, see, God sits out of time. Because he ain't strike you today, he's still watching. Everything is right now to him. And so what happens is when you're in awe of God, there's certain things that you won't do because guess what? I reverence you, Lord. His eyes are in every place. I'm not trying to hide from anybody. It just amazes me that we have lost the reverence from God. When you come into his presence, you got to uncover your face. We're in a social media age. And see, listen, the people you see in church, you can recognize people who got two lifestyles. See, it used to be you come to church, you didn't know what everybody was doing. All now you got to do is go to Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. You say, hold up, she was just on the praise team. Now she half naked. Where is the awe? We got to reverence him. We ought to, he said, now we're his. Hey, listen, when the temple, when the glory, in 2 Chronicles, I'm reading through Chronicles, when the glory of the God came into the temple, the people couldn't even function. They had to fall before him. They couldn't even, the priest couldn't even finish what their duties were because of the presence. The cloud was so heavy in the temple. And God, I got news for you. The Bible in 1 Corinthians tells you, guess what? Now you are the temple. So the glory ought to dwell where? In us. See, when you encounter God's presence, a couple of things. Number one, God's presence. What did I say? God's presence what? When you have a close encounter with God, what was the first thing about a close encounter with God? God will meet you where? He'll meet you in the wilderness. God will meet you in the wilderness. I'm here to tell you that God will use whatever he chooses to get your attention. He'll use whatever he chooses to. And when you truly encounter his presence, you know what's going to happen? It's going to lead you to worship. And once you worship and we bow before him, guess what? He's not stopping there. He's trying to get you to a point where he can clean you out. And if you worship him and recognize who he is, because the next thing that he's got, number four, God's got a what? Work for you to do. See, when you encounter God's presence, you don't just come up from his presence and just say, "Woo, chill." I had this conversation with this young lady at work one day. And she was all excited and talking about church, and boy, we had a time and we were falling out and they got slain in the spirit and all this. And I said, "Well, when you get up off the ground, what you do then?" Because the glory didn't come to knock you down and make you go out and do nothing. See, when you encounter his presence, you worship, but the next thing, he got a what? Work for you to do. Part of having a close encounter, when you have a close encounter with God, guess what? People who have close encounter with God are people who are ready and willing to work for God. He's calling you to live. He's giving you a close encounter so you can see his glory and his majesty. And having seen it and understand that, Lord God, you still want a relationship with me. Now the next thing to do is like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." God told Isaiah, "I'm looking for somebody." Isaiah saw him in all his glory. He said, "God, now I'm ready. I'm ready. What's the work you got for me to do?" And what did he do? Look at what he told Moses. He had a work for Moses to do. Look at verse 7 of Exodus chapter 3. Then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. And so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now, go, for I am sending who? You to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt." He calls you to worship. We are to worship in his presence. But listen, once we've gotten off our knees and gotten off of our face, he said, "Now I got a work for you to do." I'll never forget that conference in 1991 when I fell on my face before God. There were some people in here with us at that conference. Kenya was with me. I think my sister Anika was with me. Brother Al was with me. Brother Dave, Dave wasn't there, but when we came back, we lit the fire because Dave was home. He couldn't go with us. And on our bus trip on our way back from Atlanta, Georgia, we said, "What does God want us to do?" We were teenagers. I was like 19 or 20. And God got our attention. I fell on my face and we said, "Lord, now we got to do something." He said, he showed us his glory. "Now is a work you want me to do." That's what God is saying. When you encounter his presence, you cannot be a spectator Christian. People who have truly encountered the presence of God are people who want to serve him. What did he say, right? He's calling us to service. Now look, he said, "Now I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt." Now this is a little side. I want to let you know this thing. This is a point. It's not my point, my message. But one thing that came to me when you look at this passage, he says, "I've seen the oppression," verse 7, "of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt." This is something the Lord put on me also, that guess what? God, when I'm suffering, God is not sleeping my suffering. How long were the children of Israel slaves in Egypt? 400 and some years. And God said, "Listen, I have heard the cries. I want to let you know I ain't sleeping. And I'm getting ready to do something about it. But see, I'm working my plan. And I'm here to tell you that sometimes God might have you in a season of suffering. I want to let you know that he's not sleeping your season of suffering. I love it. I was reading it in the book of Psalms. He said, all of my tears you've captured in a bottle, Lord. He said he has caught your tears in a bottle. I know every last tear that you cry, every last hurt that you feel. I'm not sleep on it. And guess what? They all have come into my ears. And guess what? Today I'm getting ready to do something about it. It's just a word of encouragement for you, because I don't know how long you've been in that season of suffering, but Israel was in that season for over 400 years. And God said, look, it might look like it's a dead end. It might look like there's no hope out of it. But guess what? I am working something. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles, run and not get weary, walk and not faint. He promised, I told you, I work everything out for the good of them who love me and are called according to my purpose. He said, the cries of my people, they're my people. Yes, they're going through some stuff, but guess what? The cry of my people has reached me, and I've seen what the enemy's done. Oh, and I got a land for y'all. I got a place, a promised land to take you to. I'm here to tell you, whatever the suffering that you're going through right now, it is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. He's got plans for you. But what he's calling you, listen, he told Moses, he said, now, Moses, I'm sending you. I got to work for you. He's telling WCC, he's telling you this morning, I got to work for you. I didn't just show you my face for you to fall there and just go back to work and to the mundane and come back here and tend to these sheep, Moses. I'm sending you down to Pharaoh. And I'm sending you to let my people go. That's what God's calling you to. Think about when you encounter God's presence, when you have a close encounter with God, he's going to give you a work. He's calling you to a work. But the thing about the work that he's calling you to is usually bigger than you. See, Moses tried. Moses tried to be the big bad deliverer and try to kill the Egyptians because he didn't like what he saw. And what did that end up? He ended up in the wilderness. But God said, I'm going to send you right back down there. But I got a plan, because what you try to do is in your own strength. And I know right now it's bigger than you, but I'm going to let you know I'm in this. When you truly have an encounter with God and you fall on your face before him, the work that he's going to call you to is going to be a work that is bigger than you. It's going to be a work that you don't even think that you can handle. It's going to be a work. And listen, what happened when God calls you, it will usually lead you to ask this question. I want you to show, but we got my video. It'll make you look like this. When God calls you, this is Moses. This is Moses. Moses, God said, listen, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. And Moses like, who, me? You must have had the wrong one, Lord. You can't be talking about me. This is how we, and how many of us have ever looked like that when God is telling, I got something for you to do? You're like, what? I ain't got no money to do that. What? I don't have the education to do that. What? I don't have the resources to do that. What? Me? I don't have the connections to do that. Lord, I don't have the smarts to do that. That's what God is telling us to do. He said, yep, that's right. That's the job I'm calling you to, the one that you ain't prepared for. I mean, the one that you aren't equipped for. I'm going to prepare you. You ain't equipped for it, but guess what? I'm going to prepare you to take you to somewhere that, listen, you would have never thought, because guess what? I'm in it. When you have a close encounter with God, what you will do, he will give you a work, and the work he's going to call you to is going to be bigger than you. That's how you know it's him. See, because a lot of time what we do, we put God in a box. We do. We put God in a box. I love it. I was watching this illustration. It's a pastor by Michael Todd. He was doing this illustration. He put these two chairs up on the stage. He had one little small one and one big one. He had this big 300 guy come up. And he said, I want you to choose. If I asked you which chair would you choose, which one would you choose? He said, I would choose the big one. And he said, well, if I told you that the small one is going to be the one that's going to be the best one for you, which one would you choose? He said, I would probably choose the big one because that's the one that looks like, it still looks like it fits me. And that's how we do God. I choose based on my own wisdom. See, if I could choose the work, it would be something to fit into my skill set, something to fit into my education, something to fit into my socioeconomic area. And God said, no, that's not necessarily what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to go somewhere that's just bigger than you. And you could tell it was bigger than Moses because of Moses' response. Moses is like, Moses, look, show that picture again. Moses is like, what? He said, hold up, God, let's talk about this. You recognize I got a stuttering problem. You recognize, and he gave God excuse after excuse after excuse. Look at the passage. If we go back and look at our passage in chapter, if you go to chapter 4. Matter of fact, no, let's not even go to chapter 4. Let's look at verse 11 in chapter 3 first. It said, but Moses protested to God, who am I? Who, me? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And if you go down to verse 4, verse 1, Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to me? Then the Lord asked him, what is in your hand? See, what happens, God is going to ask you to go places where you don't think you're prepared to go. And he's going to say, you're going to ask the question, who, me, Lord? But what you got to understand is the next thing. Where God has called you to the work, you got to understand that God promises to go with me. God promises to go with me. When he's calling you to it, he ain't calling you to do it. He's calling you, listen, I want you to use you to accomplish my work. You can put it up. God promises to go what? It's God's, my dad always says it, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. When God promises to go with me, what's the song, the old hymn says, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Because if God be for me, it's more than the what? Whole world against. What did God tell Moses? Look at what God told Moses right here in the passage, verse 12. It said, God answered, I will be with you, Moses. And this is your sign that I'm the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God right at this very place I'm speaking to you right now. Look at that. What God has called a close encounter with God, he's going to call you to a work that's bigger than you. You're going to ask God, who me? But he's promising you what? I'm going to go with you every step of the way. And there's nothing better than having that assurance to know God is walking with me every step of the way. And when I embrace his promise to go with me every step of the way, you know what God will do? He will allow me to witness his power. When I embrace his promise, God will allow me to witness his power. Look at chapter 4 if you have your Bible, chapter 4. He said, listen, what is in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied, throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and what? It turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. What in the world is going on here? Then the Lord told him, I'm not done yet. I want to show you who it is going with you. He said, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. But do you know, even though God showed him, he revealed his power, Moses still was like, Lord, please, you got to choose somebody else. He said, look, then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. Now put your hand back into your cloak, the Lord said. So Moses put it back in, and when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. The Lord said to Moses, if they don't believe you and they're not convinced by the first sign, they will be convinced by the second. And if they don't believe you or listen or even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile, pour it on the ground, and when you do, the water will turn into blood. God's letting you know, I got you, Moses. I am the omnipotent one. I have all power. And God is telling you this morning, whatever he's calling you to, that he's got the power to carry you. Matter of fact, he's going to be the one who does the work. He called Moses to be my deliverer. But Moses, I'm the one doing the work.
We just got to show up and walk out, step out in faith. This morning, I don't know about you, but I want a close encounter with God. I want a close encounter with God. I want a life-changing encounter with God. I remember that day in 1991 when I encountered God's presence for the first time. But do you know there have, and since that time, in the last, what, how many years is that? 28 years? Good gracious. Is that 28 years? In the last 28 years, do you know he has shown me his face on several other different occasions? He'll show it over and over again. Because guess what? When God wants to take you to another level, guess sometime he got to take you back into the wilderness so that you can see his glory again. To remind you that where I took you the first, where I got you to the first milestone, I'm going to take you to the next one. And so he's constantly revealing his glory. He will keep showing you his face. And when you see his face, you will never be the same. And my prayer for our church is that we be a place when people come here that they encounter the very presence of God. And having encountered his presence, they understand and discover and embrace the purpose for them existing. And having embraced that and having found that out, they will experience his power in every aspect of their lives. And then what God will do when he does, when we experience and witness that power, now he can now use me as an instrument of deliverance in the life of somebody else. We're going to look that. I encourage you to go and look in Exodus chapter. Just look at the book of Exodus and just read through that. Read through that account. God used Moses, and Moses and all of his objections, and all of God still humors him, and Moses still went through objecting. And God said, fine, you still objecting? Guess what? I'm going to give you a mouthpiece. You talking about your mouth? I'm going to give you somebody to talk with for you. Now what? He's going to remove the excuses from you. Now he's just calling you to what? Go, go. What's God calling you to this morning that you ain't ready to go on? When you have, once having seen his presence, you know you can go because it ain't you. It's not you. God said, it is he who works in me, the will and the act of his good pleasure. He said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that all things refers to all things that he's called us to do. You can do all things that he's called us to do through his strength. Amen. Can we stand together? Close encounters of the God kind. This morning we looked at the life of Moses. And we saw that sometimes what God has to do, God speaks to you in your wilderness moments. There might be somebody who's in a wilderness moment right now and God has spoken to you. I pray the Lord has spoken to you. God will speak to you in the wilderness moments. We also found out this morning that God, because he's sovereign, he will use whatever he chooses to get your attention. Whatever it is, our health, our children, our families, he can use whatever it is so he can get your attention so that we can come and sit in a place where he can speak to us. And then having seen him in all of his glory and heard his voice, when you encounter him, that it'll lead us to worship. It'll cause us to bow before him, to be in awe in his presence, hearing his voice. And as he speaks to us, and as after we've gotten up from worship, be prepared for the work that he's calling you to do. And know that the work that he's calling you to is going to be bigger than you, but know he'll walk with you every step of the way. And if you embrace his promise to walk with you, he'll allow you to witness his power in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, encountering God's presence. God has you here this morning, may have someone here to encounter the very presence of God for the first time. And when I said that we want you to encounter God's presence and discover your purpose, the purpose that God made you for was to be in a personal relationship with him. He wants a personal relationship with every last one of us in here. All of us, he designed and made you for love. He created you to love you. But the problem, that relationship that he created for was broken when man sinned. The fact of the matter is that you and I aren't perfect, and our sin and our imperfection has made a relationship with God impossible in and of ourselves.
It's impossible for us to have that relationship with God in and of ourselves. I can't do enough good things to say, for God to say, listen, I'm going to let Dwayne come into my kingdom because he's been a good guy. All I got to do is sin one time and that goodness goes out the window and that relationship is broken. And God said, I still want you, but the sin has separated us. And so what God did, he made a way to bridge the gap between us. The Bible says that, listen, the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God loved you so much that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you want to have a relationship with God today, so that you can encounter his presence for the first time. If you want that relationship today, it's very simple. All you got to do is admit to God, admit to him that I'm imperfect. Admit to God, God, I know I'm not a perfect person. I sin. I mess up. My sin has separated from me from you. Just admit that to him. If you want that relationship with him today, the first thing you got to do, A, admit to God that you're imperfect. B, you must believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice to pay for my imperfection. To say, listen, God, I'm imperfect and I know my imperfection and my sin must be paid for, and I believe you sent Jesus to be that sacrifice for me. I believe that he lived, that he died and shed his blood, that he was buried, that he rose again. If you want that relationship with God, you must admit to God that you're imperfect. You must believe that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice to pay for your sins. And see, you must make a choice to invite him into your heart, invite him into your life, to forgive you of your sins and make you who he wants you to be. And if you make that decision, A, B, and C, A, admit, B, believe, C, choose. If you do that today, he says, I will give you eternal life and you'll never perish. If there's someone right now with your head bowed and your eye closed, if you'd like to make that decision to invite him into your life so you can have that relationship, if you're ready today to admit, believe, and choose him as your Savior, with every head bowed and eyes closed across this room, would you just slip up your hand so we can show you how you can have that relationship with him? Is there one who will start that relationship with him today? You want to admit to him, believe, and choose. If that's you, won't you raise your hand really quick so I can see you? Slip it up and put it right back down. Is there one? Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye remaining closed, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've made that decision, but God got me in a wilderness moment right now, and I just need prayer that he will help me be still so that I can hear his voice and encounter his presence. Or if you're here today and say, listen, Pastor, I want a fresh encounter with God. I've been a Christian for a long time, and it's been a long time since I've seen his face and heard his voice. Look, pray for me. I want a fresh encounter with God. If that's you, will you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Say, yes, I'm a Christian, but I need a fresh encounter. I need a fresh encounter with his glory and his majesty, to fall in love, go back to my first love, to be in awe of his presence. Is there someone else that say, I want a fresh encounter with God today? I see those hands. I see those hands. Hallelujah. I see those hands. I see that hand. Anyone else? Said, I'm tired of the mundane. I'm tired of just going through the motion. God, I need to see your glory today in my life. Anyone else need to see his glory this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we thank you. I thank you, Lord God, because I'm not by myself. Lord, I need your glory. Show us your glory today. Manifest your power and presence in our lives. God, oftentimes, Lord God, you have to take us out to the backside of the mountain into the wilderness to get us still enough to hear from you. And God, cause us to, Lord, be still. Stop moving around and stop fiddling around and trying to do things on our own strength. Be still and watch and listen as you're moving. And having seen you, Lord, cause us to worship. God, raise up the heart of worship in this place. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord God, so that we might see you. Having seen you, that we fall before you on our faces, Lord, to worship and be ready to go to work for your kingdom. And going not in our own strength, but in your power. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.